What we're talking about tonight in Joshua is obedience. And I need to be more obedient. Like I need, one of probably the most convicting things that Jesus says in the Gospels is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? And for some of us in this room, we're going, I'm trying my best. Like I'm doing all I can. It was everything. Listen, if you're here tonight, it literally took everything in you to get here just to sit in here, right? Like, I'm glad you're here. But for some of you, not enough. And I think you know, like, the deep call of God in your own life. And so the reason we get convicted is because we understand that, like, this body, your body was, as a Christian, is meant to be set apart unto the Lord. And so when we fail in that, when we say things to somebody we shouldn't have, when we blow up on something, when we raise a finger at someone on the road that we shouldn't have raised, they're like, is that your hallelujah hand? Anyway, is that the evangelical finger? Anyway, it's a different finger. Sorry. Are you with me? Or are you just like, okay, just if you want to check out, fine. It can be like other Wednesdays, but that we've come in here and checked out. But like, when I first became a Christian, I was living with a girl I wasn't married to. I was partying all the time, drinking all the time, having sex all the time. I was living in complete opposition to the will of God. So when I came to know Christ, I was a porn addict. I mean, like, it was bad, right? And I remember when I came to know Christ, everything radically changed. Everything radically changed. But I went outside. I used to smoke cigarettes too. I know, I was a bad boy. Anyway, so I used to smoke and I was outside and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning because I was just praying and like wrestling with God and like wrestling with this newfound faith. And I remember I went out, this is a crazy story by the way, but I went outside, it was maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. It was early in the morning. No one else should have been outside. That's how early, you know what I'm saying? Like when you go outside and you see somebody else outside at the same time you're out there and you're like, why are you out here, right? Like I know why I'm here. Why are you here, right? So I'm out there smoking a cigarette and this person is walking their dog at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's walking his dog and he gets about like 15 feet away from me, right? He looks at me. Context. I said, before this happened, I prayed, I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want from me? So this guy comes walking his dog up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, odd. He stops 10 to 15 feet away from me. He looks at me. He looks at the dog. He looks back at me. He looks at the dog. Now I'm kind of going, is the guy having a moment? Like, I don't know what's going on, right? Like, and then he says, shake my hand. Dog shook his hand. He said, first he said, sit. It'd be weird if the dog shook his hand when he was standing. Anyway, so he says, sit. Dog goes, shake his hand, falls over. He says, sit. Dog sits. Shake my hand. Dog shakes his hand. He says, okay, come on, let's go. Walks 10 to 15 feet on the other side of me. So I'm here. He's here. He turns around, looks at me, looks at the dog. Looks back at me, looks at the dog, says, sit. Dog sat, says, shake my hand. Dog shook his hand, walked off. Now I'm sitting there like, what the heck is going on? Three other people came out that night with their dogs, bossing them around. And the Holy Spirit said to me, dropped right my mailbox, and he said, be obedient. And I was like, dang. Lord, I'm your dog. You know? Like, be obedient. Because at the heart of our faith, at the heart of our Christian life, at the heart of our walk is meant to be obedience. Jesus didn't save me to stay in the muck, in the mire, in the grossness in which he called me out of. Right? He saved me for something far more glorious. Amen? Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? Ding, 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 ding. I'm sorry. Let's go. Joshua 7:10. So Achan is from the tribe of Judah. They were going into Ai. They were going to conquer Ai. They're unable to conquer Ai because Achan had taken from Jericho the things in which God told them not to take for themselves. Do you remember this? He's like, hey, the gold, the silver, and the bronze, that's for me. It's holy unto me, right? That's not for you and everybody else. That's mine, right? So Achan takes some for him and his family. Now, before we go, I can't believe he'd do something like that. Like, how often have we allowed just the moments where we go, did God really mean this? Can I not touch that? I'm just gonna touch it. I mean, remember Eve? Even God says to Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan comes around and says, did God really say? And Eve's like, yeah. And he's like, you won't surely die. Right? So Eve touches the fruit. How many times have our temptations started with a simple touch that turned into sin? Listen, the progression of sin is quick. First, the temptation comes. Temptation gives birth to sin, and sin brings forth death. So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? So Joshua's going, why did we lose this battle? Why have we lost? Why are we not winning? Why aren't we winning this battle? Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Is it possible the reason we're not winning our battle for the people in America is because there's so much hidden sin within the church? Come on. Is it possible the victories in which God has for us and the reason that we aren't progressing anymore in the culture for the faith is because we collectively are hiding in our sin instead of confessing it and bringing it out into the open? Israel has sinned. Listen, he doesn't just say Achan at this time. He says Israel, because Achan's sin is equated with the entire people of God. See, you and I like to think we're individuals, man. In America, we're constantly built on this idea of individualism. Well, I'm just an individual. What I do doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do. And that doesn't affect you, right? When in actuality, in the economy of God, it affects you. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. In the morning, then, you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come near by household, and the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. It shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire. He and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. Listen, I understand Here's what I want us to make sure we understand. We live under the grace of God. Amen? Victory is ours in Christ. Amen? You are rescued, redeemed, set free from the things that could ail you. Amen? So why do we still live in them? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I ask? Listen, this isn't just, it's all of us in this room, right? I've had moments of disobedience this week. And look, disobedience doesn't necessarily have to mean sin. You know what I mean? Not that I haven't sinned, because I have, right? Because I'm stupid. But like, amen. someone's like, we know. You are dumb. Anyway, but like, but it can also be not doing the things in which God has called, placed on your heart to do, which is also sin. It's just the sin of omission. The things you're omitting. I'm not doing that. Right? I don't even know where I'm going right now. We need to take obedience to God seriously. We have stopped in the church. We are too often presuming on the grace of God. Some of us have maybe even said out loud, I'm going to do it because I'm just, God's going to forgive me anyway. You should be frightened to say such a thing. Amen? Luke 6:46 says this, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And then he says this, everyone who comes to me hears my words and acts on them. I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, you guys remember this passage? A torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Some of you in this room are anxiety ridden. Some of you in this room are depressed. Some of you in this room are all these different things. I'm not saying, listen, I'm not a doctor. Like, go to a doctor and ask them about the anxiety thing, the depression thing. But I do know this. I've been depressed. I've been anxiety ridden. And I knew that the reason I was because I was sitting in unbelief. Because there was something in my life in which I was not trusting God for. And so I freaked out. Because I thought that I was in control. And it took God revealing to me, bro, you got nothing in control. Have you seen you, bro? Because you know what happens as a pastor? Man, people speak into your life and they say nice things, which thank you, by the way. I don't want to say that we don't want, I like the nice things. But what happens is we start to believe our own hype and we start to believe like I can't fall because I can't fail because if I fail, I failed them. And God's going, no, if you fail, you failed me. And in doing so, you failed them. But don't get it backwards. But then he says to me, but you are never holding them up. Right? Now look, I pray for this church. I pray for some of you by name. I pray. But at the end of the day, the only thing I'm liable for in your life is to care for you, to love you, to preach God's word to you, and he does it all. Amen? Like, I'm nothing. Remember Paul said, we're nothing. Joe's nothing. Cord is nothing. Anyone else that preaches on stage? Nothing. Paul says, look, I planted a seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So stop looking at the man or the person and going, I just really like that guy. Look, I'm glad if you like me. Like, I like you too, okay? But like, you know, but like, it doesn't, You know what happens in America, man, is we pick people that we feel like somehow can speak good or well, or I can't even speak well, but anyways, can speak good, and we put them on these pedestals, and we go, just speak into my life. Man, I was, my first youth pastoring position, I was under a guy who was the boringest person in the world. I'm dead serious, man. Every time I went to church on Sunday, me and my wife, I was like, oh my, it was like nails on chalkboard. And God was like, bro, are you listening to him or me? And I was like, oh, shoot. I'm listening to him. And God was like, you need to listen to me. Because it's not how he's saying it, it's what he's saying. Amen? God gives Israel this command. And Israel, Achan, decides to go, you know what? Lord, you're my Lord, quote unquote, but I'm not going to do what you say. And what happened? Well, going on, but the one who has heard and is not accepted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus doesn't just tell us things in the Bible for fun. He's giving us the blueprint for the best possible life we could ever live. Ever live. And the hope is that you look like Jesus when you get on the other side more than you do in this moment, so that when you get into glory, it's not a culture shock. You know what I mean? Some of you are going to walk into that and be like, what the? I didn't know it was like this. Right? So some of you are going to walk in and be like, man, I knew it was something like this, but it's so much greater than I understood. I don't want to get to heaven, though, and hear Jesus say to me, hey, bro, you dug a hole and put the talent I gave you in it. So even what you have is being taken from you. This is heavy, I know. But sometimes medicine is taste gross. You ever have medicine that just, you think to yourself, all the advances we've done, and this is the best we got? Now, some of you maybe looked at the presidential election that way, but I'm sorry. This is the best we can do. Medicine sometimes just sucks. It's disgusting, it's gross, you taste it, it's horrible. But you know what? It heals you, gets you better. We need to take obedience to God seriously. Achan didn't take it seriously, man. He thought, God doesn't really mean that I can't, is this, God knows, oh my goodness, we've done this. God knows that this is actually going to help my family. God knows that if I take this, it's actually going to be what's best for me. Listen, none of us in this room, are you guys with me? Do I need to wake you up? Okay. None of us in this room sin because we think it's a bad idea. We all sin thinking it's going to be better for us when we do it. It's not till after we get on the other side of it that we go, uh-oh, not good, right? And you're left feeling like a complete goober. And Satan's going, man, got him again. Or your own sin of flesh is like, thank you, I needed that. You know what I mean? And you run to Jesus, which is what we should do. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all sin, which is amazing because it's as if you didn't commit it. Amen? Which is, we don't understand the grace of God. The the deceitfulness of sin can affect our lives and the lives of others. If you don't believe that, we're going to skip those other verses. Just go to that next point. Next point. There we go. The deceitfulness of sin can affect our lives and the lives of others. Again, we like to believe that we are individuals, that what we do doesn't affect people. Listen, that's a bunch of horse manure. Like you are jacked up because your mom and dad were jacked. You understand that? There were things that they did, and there were things that they taught you, and there were things that you believed, and there were things that you thought were good that weren't, and all of that is because your parents did the best they could, but they were jacked because their parents were jacked. And like, if you don't think sin affects you of other people, it affects you deeply every day. Listen, when you do something to another human being, like we know this intuitively. If I slapped you today and you left here, you'd be like, Pastor Aaron, slap me. I'm never going back there again. Amen? And then you would call your friends, because you're a gossip, but you would call your friends and be like, Pastor Aaron, slap me. Which not to say you shouldn't do that. But you know what I mean? And then that would affect the church. I would get fired. Like my sin would affect you, man. Now, we like to believe that they're little sins, though. The little ones don't affect anybody. The closer you get to the cage of a dog who's rabid, the easier it is to get bit. Whether it's an inch at a time, or whether it's just going full-fledged to pet the dog. Look, we look at sin like we look at a rabid dog. Our sin is a rabid dog. But we look at it and we go, I just want to pet it. I just want to pet it. Right? And so we go over there, we're like, it's a good dog. And we get bit and we're like, oh shoot, I got bit, right? And it's like, yeah, because it's a dog. It's rabid. It's what it does. It's what a rabid dog does, man. It bites people. It's what it does. Sin bites you. It's what it does, man. It's all it does. It's all it can do. Sin does nothing else. And men, if you don't think that the sin of pornography is not affecting your marriage, you are highly, highly mistaken. Listen, don't send an email about this, please. But I'm gonna get real for 1 minute. I mean, I've been real, I feel like, the whole time. But what I'm saying is, what I'm about to say is, I'm questioning it myself. But anyways, but I think it's important. Listen, there are 20-year-old men today who are taking Viagra because they are impotent. You know why they are? Because they're addicted to pornography. And the thought of a real woman scares the hell out of them. Can I say that word? Sorry. Scares them to death. I already said it. Thank you. Thank you. But ladies. Oh, I'm a single lady. I'm joking. Okay. Ladies. I'm sorry. Ladies in the room. See, yours is a little more, I mean, women are becoming more addicted to that kind of stuff too. And it's affecting their marriages also. But your problem is you look at other men and then you look at your husband and you go, why can't you be more like them? Did someone say that today in the... Sorry. Why can't you be more like them? Which sometimes the husband looks at the wife and like, well, why can't you be more like her? Anyway, but like, no, I'm joking. But like, so your sin in attraction's a little bit more hidden because you like read these books that like are written in a way that's very seductive or suggestive, and you think, well, it's okay because it's just a book. But then you fantasize about all of that, and your husband's not even in the picture. Do you know what I mean? This has nothing to do with AI. It has no- The deceitfulness of sin can affect our lives and the lives of others. It leaves a bad example for others. It hurts our testimony, and it hurts our other people. Listen, how do you not know? I had a friend of mine. I have one friend. I'm just joking. A friend of mine came to me and said, Aaron, I've been wrestling with suicidal thoughts. He's like, I don't know where this is coming from. He's like, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. I started going to this new church, and I don't know why I'm feeling these. I don't know why I'm feeling suicidal thoughts. I don't even know why that's even coming on me. He found out that in that church, three people had committed suicide. Now, he didn't even know that. You don't think the demons that hang out with your sin don't want to jump on the person next to you? Now, some of you are going, wait, is this demonology? What are we getting into? Listen, if you want to talk to that, please come talk to me, all right? Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. We're partakers of Christ. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, what he's saying, you hold fast to your faith and the faith that comes from, and the obedience that comes from faith, firm until the end. And our victories come through the obedience of faith. That's the last point. Our victories come through the obedience of faith. Our victories in our life come through the obedience of faith. And it grows and it grows and it grows. James says in James chapter 1, consider what? Consider it all joy, pure joy, right? My brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Why? Because as your faith is being tested, amen? As your faith is being tested, God is using that test to strengthen your faith and obedience to do the things in which you used to fall to, right? That the enemy would love nothing more than you to fall back into. Listen, if you fail today, get up and dust yourself off. That was yesterday, or that was 10 minutes ago, or that was an hour ago. Be obedient now, right? We have a high priest who seats in the heavens who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. We're not in the same situation as Achan was in this situation, amen? Like there's forgiveness and there's restoration, right? But that restoration, that forgiveness isn't there for you to just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. God wants you to learn by his grace to conquer the sins that are in your life. Amen? Share this last story with you. So at Yosemite State Park, do you guys have that picture? Yeah. So there was a young adult ministry that went to Yosemite and they wanted to go up to the falls. And this sign is actually at the falls. Because listen, Jesus could have, when Jesus tells us to live according to his word, it's for our betterment, it's for our good, it's all of those things. It's so that we know the best way to live, because he created us. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. He knows that, right? So he's telling us how to live, and he's giving us warnings throughout scripture and danger signs going, don't go back into that life because you're in danger of forfeiting your faith. And okay, so it says, danger, waterfall. Just in case you didn't see it. Is that what that sound is? Stay out of water. Powerful hidden currents will carry you over the fall. Stay back from slippery rocks at the water's edge. If you go over the fall, you will die. Listen, it doesn't say you might. It doesn't say it's a possibility. I'm not reading this going, you know what? I think they're lying. I think we'll be okay. But when you're young, you're dumb. I'm still kind of young, so to compare to some of you. So I know some of you probably look at me and be like, yes, we know. When you're young, you're stupid. So these 20-year-olds from this young adult ministry read that sign. Now listen, man, listen. There's a walkway and a fence blocking you from getting into the water. So not only did they have to disobey what was written here, they had to climb a stinking fence to get over to it. So they do. They go, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. They climb over the fence. They're hanging out on the rocks. A girl slips. The guy goes to grab the girl. He falls in. The other guy goes to grab him. They fall in. All three people fell in the rapids. One spectator said, I've never seen on anyone's face the look of sheer terror that was on their eyes. All because of disobedience. Listen, if the words of man carry a heavy consequence, how much more the words of God? But we look at God's word and we go, does he really mean that? He means it, man. Just get in the water and find out. Three people's lives were taken that day because one person decided, let's go over the fence. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Lord, Achan was disobedient. He had broken your command. Lord, thank you for Jesus, Lord God. Thank you that when I've broken your command, Lord God, the throne of grace is still available to me. Because I have a high priest who has entered through the heavenlies. And I'm able to approach this throne of grace with confidence. But Lord God, may I not take that for granted. Lord, I pray that your grace would teach us to be obedient, to live the life in which you've called us to live. God, let us take your word seriously. Because when there's disobedience in the church has a harder time reaching the world. And Lord, may I look at my brothers and sisters in Christ and realize that the things I do affect them, Lord, and vice versa. And may we seek to conquer sin because that's what you desire for us. May we be like obedient dogs, Lord. May we come to you, Lord Jesus, and just follow you wherever you go. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen.